Well, today I'd like to focus on that first great reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It's chapter 17, and it's St. Paul at the Areopagus. And this is in Athens. If you go to Athens today, you can still see some of the ancient remains and ruins of this central marketplace where people would gather for philosophical discussions and where this court of 30 men would hear cases. And this is who St. Paul was speaking to. Right before we get into today's gospel, the Acts of the Apostles tell us that St. Paul went to the city of Athens, and it says he was so provoked, it says, within himself, because he saw the city was full of idols. So then it says that he began to have discussions. So it says they brought him into the Areopagus and says, well, tell us what you believe. And now we get to St. Paul's great teaching. And this is really the first evidence we have of Christian apologetics. Notice how St. Paul begins. Let me give you first, there's a very good summary in a few sentences from the Navarre Bible about how Paul talked to these pagans. Some of them were Epicureans, some of them were Stoics, so they had different pagan philosophies. But the Navarre commentary says this is the first model we have of Christian apologetics, which stresses that the reasonableness of Christianity. And St. Paul, of course, has no difficulty holding himself up with the best of human debate and human philosophy and discussion. And so what Paul does, it says he designs his introduction to catch the attention of his listeners and to highlight his central theme. And there are three parts to what Paul will say in this short discourse. First, God is the Lord of the world. He does not need to live in temples built by men. Man has been created by God and is dependent on him for everything. There is a special relationship between God and man. Therefore, idolatry is a grave sin. And then in conclusion, Paul exhorts his listeners to accept the truth about God and to repent, bearing in mind the last judgment and that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So when we take a look at Paul's incredible discourse here, he begins by saying he praises the Athenians. He says, I see that in every respect you are very religious, because Paul had walked around the city and he had seen hundreds of shrines to all different gods. And in fact, he even discovered a shrine that they made to an unknown god just because they wanted to cover their pagan rear ends, just in case they forgot a certain god. They didn't want to get zapped because they had Zeus and Mercury and Aphrodite and all these different gods. But they said, well, just in case there's a god that we didn't know, we better put up a shrine to an unknown god as well. We don't want to make an unknown god angry and get zapped. So St. Paul says, oh, you are very religious. I notice all these shrines and even a shrine to an unknown god. I am going to proclaim to you who this unknown god is. And he's not a god that's an idol. He's not made of gold or silver. He's not something that is contained in a sanctuary. He is the creator of heaven and earth. So he talks about nature, how God is the creator of all things that they see. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he gave you life and breath, and he gave you everything. And he goes on to talk about how God is the author of nature. He orders the seasons, and that people seek this God. Even though they're in darkness and they grope for him and they try to find him, he is not far from you. Because he says, in him we live and move and have our being. And what St. Paul does here, he even quotes a pagan philosopher. He quotes the Stoic philosopher Aratus, where he says, in him we live and move and have our being. So St. Paul is very intelligent. He's very brilliant. He even can quote some of their own philosophers. And so far, the people are accepting him and following his word. And then he goes on to talk about the sinfulness and the errors of idolatry, that this God is not to be fashioned into images of gold or silver or stone. And says, in the past, God overlooked your ignorance, but now he demands that all people repent. And now, so St. Paul is now telling them the errors of their way. First, he starts by complimenting them on their desire to, you know, worship God. But then he clears up their errors, that God is not in these idols, that they have to repent of these things, and that God will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, who, of course, is Jesus Christ. And it says he has raised him from the dead. Well, this is where St. Paul goes, and so he leads them into knowledge of God, and that Jesus is risen from the dead. Well, as soon as they hear about the resurrection of the dead, which the Stoics and the Epicureans did not believe in, it says they began to scoff at him and mock him. And notice there are three responses to Paul's teaching. The first, reject him. The second, let's say, put him off. And the third, believe. So the first group begins to scoff and mock him, and they turn away and leave. Another group says, well, I'd like to hear more about this some other time. So they say, gosh, we'll discuss this. We'll have some more philosophical debates with you, but let's do it on another occasion. So they put off accepting Paul and repenting. But it says, some did join him, and some became believers. And it gives us their names, Dionysius and a woman named Damaris. And then it says, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. So when we look at this, we see a very interesting situation, that St. Paul, the greatest preacher the church has ever known, did not convert everyone. He only converted a few. He converted a handful. Some mocked him and rejected him. Some delayed and maybe would talk to him again at a future point, but some accepted him. The seed falls, some on rocky ground, some on shallow ground, some among the thorns, but some seed falls on good soil. And so the ones that have fell on good soil accepted Paul, they were converted, they followed him and became Christians.